Well, it's great to be in the wonderful Western District of the United Pentecostal Church, to be with Brother Price, to be with Brother Abbey, your District Home Missions Director, to be with all of my friends, ministers of the gospel that are here tonight. And we are excited about what God is doing in this hour. Amen. It seems like we try to get excited over and over again. We try to get thrilled over and over again. And we look back 8 years ago and we were trying to get thrilled back then. 4 years ago we were trying to get excited back then. But somehow God has got to impart unto us the divine inspiration and excitement to close out this situation. Get it all taken care of. Bring back the King. Hallelujah. Get a one-way ticket for the bride to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And oh, what a glorious opportunity it's going to be a part of this end-time explosion of apostolic Holy Ghost revival. Amen. And tonight we believe that God has something in His mind for His church in this very hour in which we live. I don't want to take much time tonight with preliminaries. I want to get to the Word of the Lord. I appreciate what Brother Yandris had to say. I wish he would have just turned on the afterburners and went on with it and let God have His way around this place tonight. Because that's what we're interested in. If we don't get something to set us afire and put us out there to work for the Lord, then we don't have any reason for being here tonight. But we're here to be set aflame. We're here to be set afire anew to do the work of the Lord. And I believe that it's the will of God that we leave this convention or this Western District Convention with a burden for souls anew, a flaming fire to get out there and get the job done to bring the King back. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles with us tonight, I want to say, before we go into the Word of the Lord, we're going to turn to Jeremiah 24 and verse 7. But I want to mention the fact that the General Home Missions Department of the United Pentecostal Church, of which I'm here to represent tonight, believes in a tremendous end-time Holy Ghost outpouring of the Spirit of God and establishment of churches all across our nation and all across our world. We are going to try to set a new pace. We are going to try to let a new banner fly. It seems like we've been bogged down for several years in various different problems, but thank God it is time for us to get back in gear again and get moving for God. Amen. We have waxed weak long enough. It's time for us to flex our spiritual muscles. I don't believe we're an ounce weaker than we were 4 years ago. I believe we're stronger than we were. And I believe we need to turn the strength of the Lord loose and let God do a work in our midst. Amen. Jeremiah 24 and 7 says these words, "And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." And they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Bear in mind that portion of Scripture, and we're going to read also in Isaiah chapter 55. And verse 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Hallelujah. Tonight I would like to speak to you on the subject, the time to return. The time to return. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask you to bless your word. Make it alive and powerful. Let the word of the Lord do even as your
word declares, shall not return void tonight, but it shall accomplish its intended purpose. And the work of the Lord shall be accomplished in the midst of the congregation. Oh, hallelujah! We believe you're going to turn loose something here tonight. We believe you're going to bring us back to something tonight. We're asking you, Jesus, for divine inspiration to deliver the word that souls might turn to thee with a new faith, a new zeal, and a new fervor. We ask that it shall be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The time to return. There always comes a time in every individual's life when they feel like it's necessary to return to some distinctive place where they used to live, to some distinctive consecration that they might have had in times past. There are always those Jacobs that come back again. There are those individuals that return to the place where it all happened, and they recognize anew the vision that they had in the beginning. And somehow we get out there doing the work of the Lord, and we get to moving around trying to accomplish things for God, and we get completely out of joint. And we don't really know hardly where we come from or where we're going. And it means that God's divine word declares we must at times return and go back to our first work and back to our first vision and look once again through the eyes of faith and see anew the vision that God gave us in the beginning. And I believe that it's time for the United Pentecostal Church and the Home Missions Department of the United Pentecostal Church and every preacher of the Church of the Living God that's in the world today to return back to the original pattern and discover anew some truths that we have washed aside and seemingly set aside by our many programs and methods and plans. Now stay with me a little bit here. I'm going to try to lay the foundation for this tonight. I want you to know that it is a beautiful thing when we see the various different means and methods and wonderful works that we have developed in our organization and in our midst. And we look around about us and we see great things that have been accomplished in various areas by different methods. But I think that we must come back to the original plan of God and discover what God did in the beginning, what Jesus Christ set down as a pattern, and his disciples, what did they follow? And come back to the original standpoint of scriptural view and say, Lord, is there something there that we've lost sight of? Is there something there that we've somehow overrode? And we've gone on to other avenues and other ways. And we've worked here and we've worked there trying to accomplish your will. And we're missing the most vital and important plan that you ever had for your churches, church in the beginning. And that's what I want to drive home tonight. And as I minister to you along these lines, I don't want anybody here tonight to think Brother Elms is trying to cut down some kind of work here or work there or method here or method there. That's not what I came here for. But oh, by the grace and the help of God, I want to drive home to you the original divine will of God. And I believe that God will confirm his word with signs following. Amen. Thank God for every method we've employed. Thank God for every tract that's been handed out. Thank God for every door that's been knocked on. Thank God for every bus ministry captain that's gone off and worked with those children. And we've got a thriving bus ministry in Amarillo, Texas. And thank God for every other method we've tried in trying to reach out to the souls of men. But tonight I want to challenge you with the fact that it's time to return to the original standards of the Church of the Living God. Amen. I say this evening that it's time for us to return to the Master's plan. It's time for us to return to the original plan by which God intended that His church would flourish and grow and explode like a thermonuclear bomb. One molecule after another, one soul after another, exploding from one to another and reaching out into the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Master's plan is nothing new. We've been hearing it everywhere. And it comes down to the basis of one-on-one. One man witnessing to another man. One woman witnessing to another woman. One young person witnessing to another young person. One child witnessing on the street to another child as they sit on their bicycles. Brother, that's the original plan. That's the divine plan of God. That we would teach all nations one-on-one. Talking to them about the goodness of God. Talking to him about the salvation that he's brought to our individual lives. But today, I want to emphasize something even more strongly than possibly you've heard it emphasized before. I believe that there are methods and there are man's plans, but I believe that there is a master plan, the master's plan. And I believe that's the plan by which we're going to reach the whole world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There have been people that have advocated different methods of media to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they say, if that's not the answer, what is the answer? The answer is one-on-one. One-on-one. The answer is one man and his wife going to the home of another man and his wife and teaching that man and his wife what thus saith the word of the Lord. That's the original plan. I say, that's not another method. That's the divine plan of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm afraid that the United Pentecostal Church has in the past become a victim of concepts that have come from the hearts of men and not from the hearts of God or from the heart of God. And I believe with all of my heart that there is a place for mass evangelism. There is a place for crusade evangelism. There is a place for a multiple numerical evangelism. But Jesus Christ set the pace. And Jesus Christ decided it for us. He said it's one-on-one. He said it's one man talking to another man. It's one woman speaking to another woman. He proved it in his life and in his ministry. For too long, we have thought too big. And it's about time we whittled down our big, gigantic plans and got it down to the small mustard seed plan of God. For too long, we have considered big plans, big crusades, mass evangelism, big things happening, great things taking place, Ezekiel's boneyards rising up at the sound of one prophet's voice. And we have fought in terms of such great and wonderful things until our big plans have turned into big preacher and big ego. But the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ is that we should each one humble ourselves to become a servant and to kneel at the feet of some sinner and wash their feet with the gospel of peace. Oh, God, awaken us to the realization that it's not the big things that are going to accomplish great things in the kingdom of God. When we get to thinking big in that kind of a realm, we think ourselves right out of the thinking of God. And we think ourselves into the thinking of men. And we discover ourselves going out on tangents and getting out into a realm that's totally outside of the mind of God. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to stay with me just a little bit here. Amen. I don't want to step on anybody's toes. Too hard.
But a forest fire starts with one little tiny spark. One little tiny spark. And one spark flies off and starts another spark. And that spark flies off and starts another spark. And that spark flies off and starts another one. And spark by spark, the fire fans out until it becomes tongues of fire. And then tidal waves of fire sweeping and roaring with a tremendous noise down through the canyon. But it all started with one little tiny spark. An avalanche does not begin with gigantic, rumbling, huge boulders. No! An avalanche many times starts with just a tiny pebble slipping off. And another pebble joining that pebble, and another pebble joining that pebble, another grain of sand joining that grain of sand, until thousands of grains of sand are moving, and then boulders begin to move, and then great trees begin to crumble, and gigantic rocks begin to tumble down the mountainside, and the avalanche swells and builds into gigantic proportions, and it sweeps over the landscape underneath it. It all started with a tiny little pebble, just a little pebble, starting down the side of a mountain. Consider with me tonight the mighty Amazon River. It starts in the Andes Mountains, and the Amazon River starts with one little snowflake. One little drop of water, and another snowflake, and another drop, and another snowflake. And hundreds of snowflakes and hundreds of drops and thousands of snowflakes and thousands of drops. And it continues to build and mount as the rains fall and the snows come down in the higher mountain areas, and the water begins to flow down through little rivulets and little ravines, and it builds out to larger rivers and larger ravines, and it flows and it grows and it mounts and it builds, and when it finally rolls out the mouth, the Amazon River is 100 miles wide at its mouth. And so great is the thrust of its current that the currents of the Amazon reach 1,000 miles out into the ocean. But it all started with a little snowflake, just one little raindrop. And you know, there's a new spirit arising in the fellowship of the United Pentecostal Church, and it's the spirit of some great men of God that says, God, just let me be tiny little spark. Just a tiny little spark. Just a little pebble, God. Just a little pebble. I don't want to be a big boulder, God. I don't want to be a gigantic rock for everyone to look at me and see how big I am. Oh, God, just a little pebble. Just a little tiny snowflake floating down from the sky. Just a little raindrop falling from above. Oh, God, I don't want to be one great, big, gigantic Amazon at its mouth, but just let me be one of the tiny little drops, one of the tiny snowflakes that starts it all and gets it all flowing and gets it all moving until there's 10 people and 100 people and 1,000 people and 1,000,000 people and 2,000,000 people sweeping down to the landscape of the world, baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, give us a new spirit. Give us a new spirit, a spirit that says, God, I'm willing to humble myself before you and be just a little tiny part of your great and glorious kingdom. Let's worship the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, if I don't say anything else to you tonight, if you can just receive that same Spirit that the Holy Ghost is imparting to our preachers all over the country and our saints all over the country. The spirit of servitude, the spirit of humility, the spirit of humbling ourselves to let the word of the Lord flow from our mouth to just one soul. I don't care if I don't preach to 1,000, but oh God, if I can just get a hold of one soul and I can just lead that soul to a knowledge of this truth, and if I can lead that soul to lead another soul to the knowledge of this truth, it won't be long until we're going to have Amazon river flowing in our individual cities. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, let's talk to him again, Jesus. Let it reach home. Let it reach home. Let it reach home. Mundola maka sandala bahote kene bihana. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Change our hearts. Change our spirits, God. Mold us after your divine will. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 55 again. I want you to see something here tonight. I had other thoughts in mind, but I feel the Holy Ghost leading in this direction. And I want to flow with the Spirit of God tonight. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55, our text verse. But look back at the 8th verse and listen to what it says. Read it for yourself. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. You think up your best method. You think up your best kind of a plan. You dream up the best thing you can think of. And my God says, you don't think like I think. You don't think like I think. Amen. You don't think like I think. For my ways are as higher than your ways as the heavens are to the earth. My God, if we don't ask God to puncture our balloons and completely delete our egos and completely strip us until we can begin to quit thinking like we want to think and start thinking like He wants us to think, we're never going to reach this world if we don't get in the jet stream of God's thoughts. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. As long as we stay in this earthbound condition, we're not going to reach the world with our gospel. We're not going to establish the churches we need to establish. We're not going to reach the nations of the world that have got to be reached if we stay earthbound in our thinking and our thoughts. Oh, God. I was listening to a gentleman talking today. He was an airplane pilot riding on the airplane with me today as we came in. He was talking to the gentleman that was sitting next to me, and he was on the outside. And he was talking about how they were flying a trip one day. And ordinarily, when they flew on this journey, they had to stop and they had to refuel at the halfway point of their flight over to Japan. If I remember correctly, the halfway point was Honolulu. And they had to stop there and refuel. But he said, you know, the other day, we were flying along. And he said, we suddenly moved into the jet stream. And he said, the air was moving so swiftly in that jet stream, we just shot right over Honolulu and flew all the way to Japan. And my friend, when I heard that, something jumped up and down in my soul. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. But he said, I've got a better plan. I've got a better plan. I've got a better plan. I've got a jet stream, church, that I want
to the flying. You won't have to stop to refuel in Honolulu. You can fly all the way. You can fly all the way if you'll get in my jet stream. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, what are you going to preach, Brother Lim? Are you going to tell us about some new revelation like everybody else seems to be getting? Oh, no, my friend. I'm going to take you back to the pattern. I'm going to take you back to the original plan of God, the divine plan of God. I'm going to take you back to the master who set the pace when he said, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I want to go to your house and talk to you about the soul. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That one that sat by the well, when the disciples went in to get their food to eat, they were interested in feeding the bellies. And Jesus sat on the well because he had meat to eat that his disciples didn't know anything about. The disciples were earthbound, but Jesus Christ knew where the jet stream was. Hallelujah. He knew how to get things accomplished. Praise God, Jesus, why didn't you go in to the city there? And why didn't you preach to the whole bunch of them and show them how good you could put out the wonderful, wonderful truths that you had? For no man ever spake like you, Master. Why didn't you go in there and do it? Oh, no, I got a better plan. I've got a better plan. There's a woman coming to the well. You see, because I can't do it. I can't do it myself. I'm depending on these 12 men I'm training here. I'm depending on these ladies that come out from the city and come to get water at the well. I'm depending on the saints of God of Revival Tabernacle. I'm depending on the saints of God in every church in California and Nevada. I'm depending on you. You're my women at the well. And I'm depending on you because I met you beside the well one day when you thirsted and when your life was wretched and undone. And I took you and I purified you and I cleaned you up and I sent you back to your city to teach them about who you had met and what he had done for you. Praise God. That woman came to the well. She went back to her city after she had talked to the one who had water, living water, of which she would never thirst again. And she went back and she said, come see a man like no other man I've ever met in my life. Come see a man who spoke to me by the well. And I tell you, he told everything about my life. He told me he's a prophet. Come and hear him. And she brought the whole city back out there with her. And Jesus was able to communicate to the whole city because of a woman that knew what it was to be a real disciple. A woman who knew what it was to be a real saint of God. We've got a lot of would-be saints sitting on our pews, but very few true disciples. I'm talking about the divine plan of God. The divine plan, one-on-one. One soul talking to another soul. One man reaching out to another man. One woman talking to another woman. Reaching out. And it's a divine thermonuclear reaction. For one woman explodes over and bounces off of another woman. She explodes and bounces onto somebody else. She explodes and bounces off on somebody else. And it's a chain reaction in every direction. And it just flows out everywhere. Because you're doing what? You're rolling and you're flying and you're moving in the jet stream. You're in the divine plan. The divine plan. The divine plan of God. One-on-one. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Oh, God, open our understanding. Some of us are blind. Oh, God, Some of us see men as trees walking. Some of us are earthbound. We've got our set pattern, and we have forgotten the original pattern. Oh, God. Oh, God. I say it's the time to return. It's the time to return. It's the time, church, to return to the divine plan of God.
Praise the Lord.
You get those saints to return to the divine plan of God. You get them to do it. All of them. And you'll do something nobody else has ever done. You start mentioning teaching home Bible studies, and all of a sudden, they've got other things that they're doing for the Lord. You know, I count the Sunday school offering every Sunday. And I'm doing that for Jesus. Thank God for somebody that counts the Sunday school offering. Somebody's got to do it. But that same person ought to be winning souls at the same time. One of the great banners of the Home Missions Department at this point is home Bible studies, and I'm sure you're aware of that. And you forgive me if I refer to that more than anything else, and I'm going to try to get moving here in the jet stream so that we won't be here all night. But when I talk about home Bible studies, I talk about a burden that is deep within my heart. And God placed that burden within the heart of our National Home Missions Director, Brother Jack Yonce. He has a fantastic book out on spiritual reproduction through home Bible studies. It is the finest book I've ever picked up in my life to give me insight into the divine plan of God. And that book helps you to know how to use this book right. Amen. And I want you to know the home Bible study process is one of the most fantastic means of reaching the lost that we have at our disposal, mainly because it is the divine plan of God. Because the apostles went from house to house and they taught. They preached and they teach. The saints of the original church went house to house, breaking bread and teaching them the things of God. And so it was that Paul taught publicly and from house to house also. And he used the same principle. Now there's nothing wrong with sitting down in someone's living room with just the Bible and no chart. And you just talk to them with the Bible. I've done that before, and you've done it many times. But there's something about that chart sitting there and them being able to see it with their own eyes and watch the Old Testament history unfold and watch and look and see, my, every dispensation ends in judgment. And you come to the next dispensation. And this ends in judgment. And the next dispensation. And this ends in the judgment. And then you come to the point where speaks about the end time, and there's all the signs around us of the end time, and the end time's going to end in, oh no, they say, judgment. Yes. Judgment. And it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up, hallelujah, and it grows, and it gains momentum, and when it gets through to them, suddenly they're in the house of God, they're at the altar, they're repenting of their sins because of what they heard in the home Bible study. And so I brought it to my church. I taught 6 Bible studies in a row out of Brother Jack Yonce's book. One Bible study after the other, right out of that book, driving it home to everybody in the church, trying to get everyone in the church to teach home Bible studies. And the beauty part about home Bible studies is it's a whole lot easier for a saint of God to teach it, for a lay member to teach it, than a preacher. A lay member can teach that so much better and easier than a preacher can. Amen, Brother Elms.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I like one preacher in this place that can say you can teach that lesson in 45 minutes. I'd like to see you raise your hand. Can you teach one Search for Truth lesson in 45 minutes? You can't do it. That's right. But a saint of God can. Because you know too much. And you throw too many extras in free. And before it's over with, the poor folks are asleep. And you're just going away. Amen. You see, preacher, if you tell your saints that you're going to teach it, you know, and I know you can't teach it maybe as good as a preacher can, you're not going to get people to teach home Bible study. But I try to teach my people everywhere I go. I tell them it's a whole lot easier for a lay member to teach a home Bible study than a preacher. A preacher knows too much. He gets off on too many tangents and talks about too many other things, and he ends up teaching too long, and he wears the people out, and they don't understand and remember a lot of what he said because he said too much. And so a lay member can teach it so much easier, and I try to sell it to my church. And you know how many people I got to volunteer to teach home Bible studies? 30 people. 30 people. When there should have been 100 people. 30 people to teach home Bible studies. You say, well, that's pretty good. Oh, no, it's not pretty good, because everybody ought to be willing to partake in the divine plan of God. We got a selling job ahead of us, preachers, if we're going to make disciples out of our people. We're going to have to bring it out and teach it in such a manner that they awaken to the realization that if they're going to be saved, they're going to have to get involved in winning the lost. Amen. But nevertheless, how wonderful it is to know that we have some home Bible studies going right now. We're thankful for that. And I'm just bringing this out because it's one-on-one. It's one-on-one home Bible study. Amen. We have one home Bible study. My assistant pastor was teaching it, and he taught 3 weeks ago the first lesson, and then the week after that he was going to teach the second lesson, and they got to asking about baptism, and they have not been to the church enough to know anything about it. They just visited once, and that's the way we got the home Bible study, by the way, is when they visited, and we went and visited them and asked them if they'd like to learn more about the Bible, and we began to teach them. My assistant taught them the second lesson. He switched over to lesson 7 because they wanted to know about baptism. And so he switched over to lesson number 7. And he taught them the lesson on the Holy Ghost. That was on Tuesday night. The next Sunday night, they came to church prepared to be baptized in Jesus' name. Both husband and wife couldn't wait to be baptized. They went up when we were praying for the sick, and they lifted their hands and received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And then we baptized them in Jesus' name. Another couple that they brought with them as a result of being taught just 2 lessons of Search for Truth home Bible study, they brought them that night. That couple hit the altar. At the end of the service, the wife received the Holy Ghost. And we took them all back. Another girl received the Holy Ghost. And we took all 5 of them back to baptize them in Jesus' name a week ago Sunday night. And we had the man who didn't get it at the altar came out of the water speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Amen. 2 couples and a brand new teenage girl filled with the Holy Ghost as a direct result of home Bible study. All we've been doing is just teaching it to the people for the last 8 weeks in some way or other. And the Lord is honoring it. He's not even asking us to wait till the 6th or 7th lesson. They're just coming on in because it's His divine plan. Somebody said, I've got an old, yellowed Search for Truth chart myself, Brother Helms. I could yank out of the old cobweb back room there. Because I tried that several years ago. Well, I did too. I started the church in Los Angeles with Search for Truth Home Bible Studies. But I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to teach properly. Brother Yount's book tells you the secrets of success in home Bible study. I ordered 30 of them for the 30 people in our church that wanted home Bible studies.
We've ordered 25 home Bible study kits, and we've got them all in, and we've got home Bible study starting this week. You say it's another method, it's another fad that'll be here for a while, and we'll forget it. Oh, no, it's not. My friend, this is going to drive itself into the United Pentecostal Church and God's church everywhere, and it's going to become a living force within our midst, and we're going to do the will of God, because Brother Harry Sism is now having home Bible studies printed up in other nations. They're going to take the divine plan to India and Africa and South America and all over the world and get the native people teaching their own people home Bible studies. Brother, it's the divine plan of God. And let me tell you something. The key thing in that home Bible study is not your search for truth manual. You leave that at home. The only thing you take with you is that chart for them to glance at and your great big Bible. And you pour the Word of God to them. Hallelujah. I'm talking about getting into the jet stream. I'm telling you something tonight. If you will open your understanding, if you'll ask God to give you an understanding of it, this is the divine plan of God to get the Word of God in the people's homes. I say it's not only time to return to the divine plan of one-on-one and home Bible study teaching, but it's time for us to return to the realization of the power of this mighty Word of God. Hallelujah. That's so powerful. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. We could just awaken to the power in it. Every line, every word, every dotting of the I, every dashing of the T is packed with power. This is the most powerful thing in all the world. The Word of God can earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, and the world's going to be consumed in the fire of God's wrath. But my Word shall stand forever. That's the power of it. That's the power of it. I used to sit in a search for truth session, and I would teach out of the manual. Reading out of the manual, but I realized, oh God, after I began to delve into this more deeply, I got that Bible out, and I had them get their Bibles, and we read together out of the Bible, and we read those scriptures there, and it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Brother, when you've got this underneath your arm and you go to the living room to sit on the couch or go to the kitchen to teach a home Bible study, brother, you've got the most powerful thing in all of the world. And I'm telling you, you can teach one lesson and that old hard-headed husband sits over there and he won't do a thing. And you teach another lesson and he steps over there and acts like you're not reaching him. And you teach a third lesson and he sits over there still acting nonchalant. But that word is plowing. That word is plowing. That word is plowing. Because it's powerful. It's powerful. It'll plow up the fallow ground of that old hard heart. And it'll open up his heart to the Word of God. And by the sixth or seventh lesson, like somebody was testifying here about tonight, that man's heart can be softened. And he'll find himself at a Pentecostal altar seeking the face of God. It's in this book. It's in this book. It's in this book. It's right here. It's God's Word. It's forever settled. And this Word will transform lives. It'll change the hearts of people. It'll plow up that old fallow ground. It'll do a work that nothing you can say with your beautiful personality and your petulant smile can do. Amen. You can charm them and woo them and wow them and talk about all of the great things that you'll have when you get to the house of God. And you'll enjoy our choir singing. And you'll enjoy our special singing. And you'll enjoy all the things.
ashamed about our church and our friendly people. But brother, until you start putting a word to them, you're not going to get the job done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll put down the net. Hallelujah. And that's when the draw the fishes came. He got in the jet stream. He got the flowing in the mind of God. He got the moving God's way. God's way. God's way. What does the book say? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways. There's too many of our ways in God's way. Too many of our ways in God's way. This is it right here. That's it. Oh, God. That's it. Oh, that's it right there. That's the book that'll do it. That's the book that'll win the world. That's the book that'll reach every lost man that can be reached. That's the book that'll reach every lost woman that can be reached. That's it. It's right there. It's in the pages of this book. It's not in your brain. It's in this book. And you can sit there and quote scripture all you want from your brain, but they need to read it from their own Bible. Teaching a home Bible study last week. Beautiful family. Catholic family. And I was teaching the home Bible study, and I told them to turn over such and such a book. And they both looked at me. We don't know where that is. I said, that's all right. I didn't know where it was. I didn't know where it was either one day. But you know, somebody showed me. And I want to show you where it's at. We turned over there. And they read it. And they looked up at one another. And we went a little while, read another scripture. And they read it. And they looked up at one another and, like, I didn't know that was there. And they turned over to, I showed them another place to read the scripture, and they read the scripture. I didn't know that was there. Oh. And I told them about repentance. And after telling them about repentance, I went on out to the car, and the wind was blowing. The old West Texas wind was blowing as hard as it could blow. And it was cold, cold, cold. And I went out to my car, and here he came in his t-shirt, and here she came in flimsy clothing, and that wind was just blowing in them and just almost knocking them down, and I knew where they were freezing because I was shivering and I had a coat on, and here they come up to the window of the car, and I thought I was through, and I rolled down the window as quick as I could, and the man stuck his head down and he said, would you just tell us one more time how to repent? Just one more time. Just one more time. And I explained to him in just simple words, one more time, how to repent. And they both looked at each other and she just clapped her hands. And they smiled and they turned around and they ran into the house to repent. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. The Word. Oh, God, help us to return to your Word. Help us to return to your Word, to your Word, to your Word. It's right here. The salvation of your friends, the salvation of the people you work with, the salvation of the people in your neighborhood. It's here. It's in this book. You've got to quit inviting them to church. Start getting them to read the book with you. And pretty soon they'll ask you to go to church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Last night, two more baptized in Jesus' name, all adults, one more filled with the Holy Ghost last night from home Bible studies. We've only been going for 2 weeks. Only 2 weeks. Six filled with the Holy Ghost. Seven baptized in Jesus' name. All of them adults. Oh, my friend, it's the divine plan of God. We've got to return to the divine plan and return to the Word and recognize the power of God's Word. And there's one more thing, and I don't want to take much more time, but I'm just leaving you my burden. I'm not so concerned about homiletics tonight. I want to leave you a burden down in my soul. And let me tell you something. Those folks that got the Holy Ghost after hearing lesson 1 and lesson 7 of Search for Truth Home Bible Study will hear lesson number 2 tomorrow night. Because that's the third thing we've got to return back to, and that's discipling our new converts. Discipling them. Before, if I got them filled with the Holy Ghost, after 2 lessons, I'd quit teaching them. They can sit and learn with the rest of the saints. But those new converts need special help and special teaching and special assistance. And you keep that home Bible study going right in their home, just like it was before, and keep answering those questions and drill into them the foundation stones of the Bible from Genesis to Revelations. And then don't stop there. We have a discipleship class in our church, and the Holy Ghost just impressed me with it. We've got 16 people in that discipleship class right now. They're on the 22nd lesson. In Sunday school, Sunday morning, my assistant pastor's doing the teaching for me in that class. If I had a smaller church, I would teach it myself on an off night, like a Tuesday or Thursday, because we have Wednesday night service. But we have got to do something about discipling our new converts. And let me tell you something, you bear in mind this much. Not one of those new converts that we have put through 22 or 3 weeks of discipling, not one of them has fallen by the wayside. They're all in the church. They've all already had Search for Truth. And now they're being taught how to cope with temptation. They're being taught how to cope with the devil himself, to know how to understand. They're being taught a whole lesson on the difference between faith and feelings, walking by faith and not by your feelings. They're being taught foundation stones of Christian living, prayer, how to pray, when to pray, how long to pray, different kinds of prayers. They're being taught this intensely, personally, for 45 minutes, and they have 15 minutes to ask questions at the end of the class. We've almost got enough to start a new class, and we're hoping to start a new class real soon, and teaching and discipling those people into being real disciples. Every one of them, when they leave the discipleship class, and we're planning on a year's discipling process, will be home Bible study teachers. Every one of them. They don't know any different. They know every new convert teaches home Bible study sooner or later. We train you first. We don't send you out until you train. But we're going to train you, and we're going to disciple you like we should have discipled the rest of these sheep out here. That all they know how to do is bleat every once in a while. Amen. I want to get in the jet stream. I want to quit thinking my thoughts. For my thoughts are not His thoughts. Neither are my ways His ways. But listen, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud. See, we want to be a great big towering tree so everybody can see us. But very few are willing to be a raindrop that'll produce that tree. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Oh God, in the hushed atmosphere of the holy hallowed presence of God, who here will stand to their feet and say,
I'm willing to humble myself to be just a little spark. I have had designs on being a whole bonfire myself. But I'm willing to be just a little spark. And yes, I just would like to be a gigantic snowstorm and sweep across the landscape. Make such a tremendous effect upon the earth. But I'm willing to sacrifice my great visions to be just one little tiny snowflake. Just one little snowflake. Just one little raindrop. I'd like to be an Amazon river, but I'll be willing to just be one little tiny raindrop. If you will you stand? Oh God, would you lift both hands to the Lord? Would you let Him know how you feel about it in your soul? Oh God. Oh thinking. Help us, God, to quit thinking so big, start thinking small. Oh, God, for you humbled yourself to become a servant of men. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, God. God, we don't want to be a big flash flood that's here for a little bit, a little while, and gone because we built up too much steam and we just flashed out there with a big billowing wave. Made a big mark for a little while, but it didn't count for eternity. God, help us to humble ourselves. To humble ourselves. To humble ourselves. Oh, God. Oh, God. No big names, God, just thousands of snowflakes. Oh, God, just thousands of tiny raindrops. Oh, God. Oh, God. Pastor, the way to reach your city is not by making a big flash flood splash, but disciple your people. Get everyone in the church. Get everybody in the house of God reaching out to win a soul to Jesus Christ. Get a whole lot of raindrops flowing in the same direction and you'll suddenly begin to sweep in on sinners and lost souls and bring them into the fold of the church. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you might have heard the process, but as we seek the Lord tonight, I want you to remember the process. There was only one soul in this whole wide world that was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Just one soul, just one in the whole world. And you were that one soul. You were the only one. And you won one soul to Jesus Christ in 1978.
the end of 1 year, there would be two people in the world filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. At the end of 2 years, there'd be four people if each one won another soul in that whole year. At the end of 3 years, there'd be eight people in the world filled with the Holy Ghost. At the end of 4 years, there would be 16 people. At the end of 5 years, there would be 32 people filled with the Holy Ghost. And at the end of seven years, there would be 128 people filled with the Holy Ghost. At the end of 10 years, there would be 1,024 people filled with the Holy Ghost. At the end of 20 years, there would be 1,048,576 people filled with the Holy Ghost. At the end of 32 years, the whole world would have been reached with the gospel. There would be 4,296,967,296 people filled with the Holy Ghost. And somebody says, there's no way we can reach our generation with the population explosion like it is. There's just no way we can reach them. We got to figure out some big, highfalutin way to do it. No! We got to return to the Master's plan. And one win one. One win one. And those two win two more. What do you have, Pastor? Do you have 20 people in your church? Next year you could have 40 adults in your church if everybody just won one. And then 2 years from now you'd have 80 adults in your church if everybody won one. And 3 years from now, you'd have 160 adults in your church if everybody just won one. And that's just one winning one. One winning one. No big revivals, and there's nothing wrong with a big revival. Except if you don't disciple those people at the revival, you lose most of them. The people that come through the Word of God a week at a time, you don't lose very many of them. Very few, because they're founded on the Word. But think of the limitless possibilities, Pastor, in your church. Pastors that are here tonight, and you don't have a self-supporting church. If you would get your heart set aflame with the vision of the Master's plan and the power of the Word of God, and then disciple the people that come into your church, I want you to know it wouldn't be long until you'd be full-time. Give it 1 year, you could be full-time. Sooner than that, it's God's will, it's God's plan for us to reach our generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the plan. One-on-one, sharing the Word of God with them. Shall we thank the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Somehow I feel like there's some people here tonight, maybe some of our dear pastors, saints of God, and you feel like you need to make a stronger commitment about what you have been touched with by the Holy Ghost tonight. And if you've got that burning desire in your heart, I want you to make your way to this altar right now. As we sing a chorus, would you make your way to this altar right now? Amen. If the altar fills up, you can kneel right where you are. But oh God, please implant this in every heart tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me and make my part.
gone so